A reading from the book of Ecclesiastes. There is an appointed time for everything, and a time for everything under the heavens. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot the plant. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them. A time to embrace, and a time to be far from embraces. A time to seek, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. What advantage has the workers from his toil? I have considered the task that God has appointed for the sons of men to be busied about. He has made everything appropriate to its time, and has put the timeless into their hearts, without man's ever discovering, from beginning to end, the work which God has done. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Blessed be the Lord, my rock.
Blessed be the Lord, my rock,
my mercy and my fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer, my shield, in whom I trust.
Blessed be the Lord,
what is man that you notice him? The son of man, that you take thought of him. Man is like a breath, his days like a passing shadow.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Once when Jesus was praying in solitude and the disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist. Others, Elijah. Still others, one of the ancient prophets has arisen." Then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said in reply, "The Christ of God." He rebuked them and directed them not to tell this to anyone. He said, "The Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised."
Verbum Domini.
Whereas yesterday's reading from Ecclesiastes focused on the vanity of all the things in the world, that we might not desire them, but rather desire God, today's reading focuses on the appointed seasons and times in human life. There are things in life that are appointed and set by God that we have no control over. For instance, our birth, right? We didn't have any control over the conditions of our birth or coming into this world. It's completely a gift of God and the cooperation of our parents. Same thing we have no control over. We cannot prevent ourselves from dying. So we have to accept that God has made everything appropriate to its time. We were meant to live in this particular time in God's wisdom and in his providence. In today's reading, we're given a list of 14 pairs of times in ordinary human lives. In the Hebrew culture, there was a sense of symbolic meaning with regard to numbers. And 14, which is a multiple of 7, symbolized completeness. So the fact that there are 14 pairs is supposed to symbolize the complete human life, all the things that we encounter in life, right? It's all in God's providence. So our reading starts with a time to be born and a time to die, as these are the most significant because everything else in our lives falls in between these times of our birth and our death. From the moment of our conception, everything else fits in them. And we can discern and we can know the appropriate time for each thing in our life, but we can't change them because God has established those times. So with all this mention of time in our first reading today, we also recall that the fullness of time came in the incarnation when our God became man. As we await for our Lord's second coming, we have the duty to sanctify our time, to make it holy, to make the best use of our time. We can recall it the Easter Vigil each year. The celebrant blesses the Paschal candle, which represents the risen Christ. And he says, Christ yesterday and today, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, all time belongs to him. And all ages, to him be glory and power through every age forever. So it is emphasized is that Christ is the Lord of all time. He is its beginning and end. So we should therefore strive to make the best use of our time. It's a gift. It's a gift from God given to us. Pope Paul VI would say in an address he gave that time is very precious because time quickly passes away. It is a testing ground for our eternal destiny. Our fate depends to a large extent on our fidelity to our duties in life. Time is a gift from God. We should use it well by working with love and intensity. A Christian should never give in to sloth and boredom. It is fine for us to rest whenever necessary, but we should always have our eyes fixed on our final resting place in heaven. So in light of today's reading, we pray that we might sanctify our time, right, to make the best use of it, seeking to live in the present moment, and to faithfully carry out our responsibilities for the love and the glory of God. And our reading from Ecclesiastes ends with a reference to God making everything appropriate to its time. And it says that he has put the timeless into our hearts, or another way it's translated is he has put eternity into our hearts. He has created us with a desire for eternity. We know that we were not meant for this life. That's why nothing in this life can ultimately satisfy us. So a key message in reading Ecclesiastes is the exhortation that our ultimate fulfillment and happiness is not found in temporal goods in this life. Again, God has put into us a desire for eternity that no creature, that no created thing can fulfill. Our ultimate fulfillment is found in Christ and God and in the unending joys of eternal life in heaven. That's what we yearn for. That's what this book is about, the book of Ecclesiastes. And it helps us to stir up that desire for eternal life. Today, we also celebrate the memorial of St. Vincent de Paul, who was born in France in the late 16th century. And as a young priest, he was captured by pirates and he was sold into slavery for 2 years. And he spent 2 years as a slave in Tunisia, in Africa. And by the grace of God, God's providence, after one of his slave owners, I think he had several owners, experienced conversion to the faith, he was allowed to go back to Europe. He was freed. And he eventually would study, do further studies in Rome, and he became an educator and a spiritual director for an aristocratic French family. So he experienced a wide spectrum throughout his life. Right? He knew what it was like to be in utter servitude and dire poverty, as well as a very comfortable living. But it's been said that although Vincent had initially begun his priesthood with the intention of securing a life of leisure for himself, he underwent a change of heart after hearing the confession of a dying peasant. This opened his eyes to the needs of the poor in France. And he was moved with particular compassion for the poor. And he began undertaking missions and founding institutions to help them both materially and spiritually. And having previously served as a slave himself, he began to minister to convicts who were forced to serve in terrible conditions as rowers on galley ships. And in his zeal, he'd go on to establish the congregation of priests of the mission and to evangelize and foster vocations to the priesthood. And that community would later be known as the Vincentians. St. Vincent de Paul also worked with another saint, Louise de Marillac, in founding the Daughters of Charity. And this would be the first congregation of women religious whose consecrated life involved an extensive apostolic work among the poor, the sick, and prisoners. And as St. Vincent de Paul worked in the formation of priests, he would say in a conference to them, and this applies to all of us, really, he says that our vocation is to go out and inflame the hearts of men and to do what the Son of God did, he who brought fire into the world to set it alight with his love. Thus it is true that I have been sent not only to love God, but also to make men love him. And he would go on to ask, how can we give love to others if we do not have it among us? If love is not on fire in us, if we do not love each other as Jesus Christ loved us, and if we do not act as he did, how can we hope to spread love throughout the world? And he says a phrase that we hear so often, you cannot give what you do not have. He said, love cannot remain barren. It urges us to obtain salvation and relief for others. So we see this in St. Vincent de Paul. We see this in the lives of all the saints. Their hearts were set on fire with the love for others, for God and for others, and they had this desire to lead others to Christ, to heaven. In a letter to a priest, St. Vincent also gave the following counsel on perseverance. And this is a grace that it's very good for us to pray for often. We need the grace of final perseverance. St. Vincent wrote to this missionary priest, always bear in mind that in the spiritual life, beginnings count for little. We look for progress and attainment. Judas began well, but finished badly. And St. Paul finished well, although he began badly. Perfection lies in unvarying perseverance, in the acquisition of virtues and progress, and in progress in them, because in the sight of God, not to advance is to fall back, since man never remains in the same state. Right, that we always want to be moving forward. We always want to persevere. So again, that's a grace we want to pray for regularly, for the grace of final perseverance. That is, I'm reminded too of that line attributed to St. John Vianney, not all the saints began well, but they all finished well. Right? We pray for that grace of final perseverance. And as one biographer described St. Vincent de Paul, I find this encouraging, he said he was a simple and homely saint. He had experienced neither ecstasies nor miracles. He had written no great works, but had striven to live out humbly and faithfully at a human level, on our level, the divine mission received from his Savior. So through the intercession of St. Vincent de Paul, we pray for the grace to persevere to the end in being faithful to Christ and to pray and to work in service of others and to lead them to Christ.